this is your first time here, don't worry, I do this all the time. There's always an awkward silence when Craig's preaching. Let me pray for us. Father, I thank you that we we can just bring our fish and our bread to you, and you take it and you feed. And tonight, as we come here for the first time, Father, I pray that as we enjoy these premises, that we would enjoy hearing your word, encountering your spirit here. That's why we came. We came not for the coffee, for the conversation. We came to encounter you. We came to hear your voice. We came to be transformed, not for information, but for transformation. And Father, I pray that tonight our hearts would be soft so that your work can be done. In Jesus' name, amen. Let me just get this thing to play along. My tablet. If you've been paying attention, you may have picked up that although I've been speaking about the gifts, the charismata, I have actually been, let me just try and get out the way here. I've actually been focusing on the gifts of the Son for a while now. In fact, Dion preached a little bit when he had a session. He spoke about prophecy in a way that all of us can prophesy. So I've been speaking about evangelism, and I see all the evangelists are back because that's all of us. And tonight I'm going to be talking about shepherding as one of the gifts that the Son has given to the body. If we look at Ephesians 4, we were looking at the what they call the fivefold ministry gifts. But really, these are functions, and some people may operate in that function more regularly or more permanently than others. But these are gifts that all of us should be growing in some way. So that's really the, if I was like, short recap of where we've been. Tonight I'm talking about the Good Shepherd. Because we, in some translations, they talk about that, and he gave pastors and teachers, but it's actually better translated shepherds and teachers. And because shepherd is a very loaded term. In the Old Testament, the leaders and the kings were all called shepherds, okay? Because there's this history with David being a shepherd, and so when God is talking to leaders, he's talking to people who are in positions of leadership. He talks about shepherds, and so when I'm talking about the Good Shepherd, obviously Jesus is the Good Shepherd, but shepherding, you may want to use the term pastoral work or pastoring, okay? So I'm going to be talking about shepherding. It's our first evening service. I feel like I should take my gap, be like Paul, let's preach through the night, see how it goes. Hey, you happy? Maybe. No, let's not do that. Okay, so we're going to be looking at John 10, which is quite a obviously a popular chapter in the Bible. And somewhat, I have found that the focus in John 10 is often a little bit more on John 10:10. We'll get to that even before that. But I was looking at John 10, and I realized, but you know, there's actually a clue for us when we read John and John chapter 10 about what the core idea that's being taught in John 10 is. And you know John's style, he gives you the reason. He's a good theologian, so what he does is he gives you the reason he writes something towards the end of why he's written, so that you'll go back and read it again, knowing now why he wrote it. So when you read John, the gospel, you get to chapter 20 and he tells you, this is why I've written the gospel, so that you will believe. And then you go back and you, oh, these are why all these signs are mentioned. So he does this in John 10 as well. It's a mini exercise. We read, we get this clue at the end of close to the end of the chapter. John 10, verse 22 to 23. It says, at that time, the feast of dedication took place at Jerusalem. It was winter, and Jesus was walking in the temple in the colonnade of Solomon. So actually, the whole of John 10, and a little bit before that, is actually playing out at this time, in this scene, at the feast of dedication. Now, if you take your Bible, you will not find the feast of dedication in the Old Testament. There's a very good reason for that. The feast of dedication is Hanukkah, right? And it's something they started celebrating in the intertestamental period. It refers to a specific incident, Judas Maccabee, where the Greeks had profaned the temple when they had taken over. And in that Maccabean revolt, rebellion, or takeover, they had rededicated the temple. So the Jews at this time of year, which actually is next week, by the way, but seeing it, I'm not preaching next week, I thought, well, okay, I'm not going to be preaching when it is actually Hanukkah, and we don't do Israelitis, so I'm going to take a week earlier, and everyone's going to be okay with that. Yopi, you good with that? So Hanukkah, I don't know how to pronounce it, somebody will help me out. There, Hanukkah, okay, great, I know. Is a time of the year where they think about what happened, why it was necessary for Judas Maccabee to do this rededication of the temple, and they specifically spend time reading Ezekiel 34, because that was the reason they understood why this all happened with the Greeks. And so when Jesus is teaching in John 10 at the time of Hanukkah, the Jews have these scriptures fresh in their memory. I just selected a few. You can go home and go read the whole of Ezekiel 34. It may or may not traumatize you a little bit, depending on on what part you think is applicable to you. I just selected a few verses that for me just give a context. So we're just going to read through these verses I selected. You can go home and go look at the whole of Ezekiel 34 and read it again. But these are some of the things that these Jews, when Jesus is teaching John 10, this is in their mind. Ezekiel 34. You eat the fat, he's talking about the shepherds. You eat the fat, you clothe yourselves with wool, you slaughter the fat ones, but you do not feed the sheep. This is a charge that God makes against the shepherds. The weak you have not strengthened, the sick you have not healed, the injured you have not bound up, the strayed you have not brought back, the lost you have not sought, and with force and harshness you have ruled them. Let's carry on. God speaking now, later in the chapter, you'll see he now steps in. And he says, I will feed them with good pasture, and on the mountain heights of Israel shall be their grazing land. There they shall lie down in good grazing land, and on rich pasture they shall feed on the mountains of Israel. I myself will be the shepherd of my sheep, and I myself will make them lie down, declares the Lord God. I will seek the lost, and I will bring back the strayed, and I will bind up the injured, and I will strengthen the weak, and the fat and the strong I will destroy. I will feed them in justice. You got your seatbelt on? Remember, we're trying to get the context here for the teaching Jesus does in John 10. This is fresh in their minds. I will rescue my flock. They shall no longer be a prey. And I will judge between sheep and sheep. And I will set up over them one shepherd, my servant David. And he shall feed them. He shall feed them and be their shepherd. And I, the Lord, will be their God. And my servant David shall be prince among them. I am the Lord, I have spoken. More. This is the better part. I will make them a covenant of peace and banish wild beasts from the land so that they may dwell securely in the wilderness and sleep in the woods. And I will make them and the places all around my hill a blessing. And I will send down the showers in their season. There shall be showers of blessing. I know we've run through this, but can you hear it? It drips with messianic prophecy. So they are reading this for a whole week. That's what's happening. And into this scene comes Jesus walking in the temple. He's walking in the very temple. These are radical prophecies. Talking about God saying, I will become the shepherd because you guys are not good shepherds. You see, the Jews of the day, they had this memory. Okay, the Maccabeans, they rescued us, and then we understood we must now meditate on Ezekiel 34. But now the Romans have come. So every year they're sitting and wondering, the Romans are now here, they're now oppressing us. Have we stuffed up the shepherding thing again? Right? That's how they're busy wrestling with. And into that steps Jesus, and then we start reading John 10. We got the context right. John 10, verse 1 to 5. This is Jesus speaking. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the gatekeeper opens. The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. So this is the opening statement Jesus makes, and this is what he unpacks then later on in John 10. But this is his opening salvo in the context of what's happening. And I see these scriptures, and there's this where Jesus says, the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. You know, there's a lot of confusion out there about knowing the voice of God, hearing the voice of Jesus. And there's a lot of condemnation that takes place because we hear, and I'm all for God giving you specific direction. Okay? That's great. It happens. Here's my candidate, Yopi, the Hunklip Gospel Show. He didn't come up with it on his own. Heard a voice in his heart, obeyed. So these are specific directions. But what this is really primarily talking about, other than getting specific direction from the Lord, which I do believe in, but this is primarily talking about the teachings of Jesus. He's saying here, the sheep follow him for they know his voice. That's primarily about the teachings of Jesus. We see Paul writes to Timothy. Because he says later, but they will flee from the stranger because they do not know the voice of strangers. Here's Paul's take on this idea. He says to Timothy, if anyone teaches a different doctrine and does not agree with the sound words of our Lord Jesus Christ and the teaching that accords with godliness, he is puffed up with conceit and understands nothing. The sound words of our Lord Jesus Christ, we have them recorded. That which the Holy Spirit determined was sufficient for us to understand salvation and how to follow has been recorded for us in the Gospels, Jesus' teachings, in the Word of God, and then we've got the teachings that accord with godliness. What's godliness? Is that devotion, the pursuit of God. When you see someone say that's a godly man, it's because he's a guy that oozes his devotion to God. He's pursuing God in his life. Doesn't mean he is a perfect man. So Paul here gives us the standard, the same that we actually get from Jesus' own teaching. Because if someone teaches something that does not accord with the words of our Lord Jesus Christ and the teachings of godliness, then he does not know what he is talking about. That's what Paul says here. Because he's puffed up, does not understand anything. If you hear a new teaching from someone, you see, that changes the Great Commission to the Great Omission. Right? It's a simple example. Here's a harder one, or a rougher one. In the church, when we say, spice up your marriage, watch a little porn. Heard that recently. Is that teaching that accords with godliness? Would you listen to that teaching? It's a simple test. No. You're a sheep. Right? It's that. This is what we're looking at here. The voice of Jesus is to listen to his teaching that which accords with godliness. See, and when we sometimes, we want God to speak to us, but we want to speak to him about something other than what he is on mission about. God is on mission. He's busy rescuing, restoring the world to himself. And we want God to speak to us about, should I buy a puppy or not? Okay? And God's like, or we say, should I buy a puppy or a cat? And God's like, yes. And we're like, why? And he's like, yes, as long as it fulfills the Great Commission. See, that's my passion. Because that's what's on the heart of the Father. He's on mission, restoring the world. So when we sometimes come to him with questions and we don't get answers, this has happened to me, then I realize God's saying, yes, just as long as it fulfills the Great Commission. Hey, Andre, does that work for you? You'll take that. Okay. Oh, I must get back on track here. Right. Let's get back to John 10. So Jesus again said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers. But the sheep did not listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. You know, we can't, I'm going to make that point later. Let's talk about Jesus saying, I am the door. That means there is no other door. There is no other way into the sheepfold than through him. And they are sitting, thinking, waiting for the Messiah to look a certain way. And Jesus says, I am the Messiah. This is the way. I'm the only door. No other door is coming. Right? That's what he's saying here to them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. He's connecting what he's talking to Ezekiel 34, where it said, I will feed them with good pasture. And on the mountain heights of Israel shall be their grazing land. There they shall lie down in good grazing land, and on rich pasture they shall feed on the mountains of Israel. Jesus' words are life, and they are food. That is our grazing. His words are the words of life. And then we get to John 10:10, which almost everybody knows really well. And this is the point I was going to make earlier. John 10:10, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. I don't think we can give the devil all credit for being the thief mentioned here. Right? You can't give him too many bad names. But Jesus here primarily is not talking about the devil. He's talking about leaders who are only feeding themselves. He's talking about the bad shepherds of Ezekiel 34 that caused the exile. He's talking about those leaders who would not feed the sheep, but take and kill and destroy for themselves. And he's contrasting himself. Remember, he's contrasting himself to the Sadducees and the Pharisees that have been lording it over the others, the Jews. And here's Jesus' life. When his best friend dies, one of his best friends, when John is beheaded, Jesus, in his mourning, looks up and he comforts others and he says he looked up and he had compassion in his mourning. Because he came to that we may have life and have it abundantly. Now, here's my note. Exercise restraint, Craig. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. I'm going to just, these are not on the slides. But he did not come that we may have possessions and have them abundantly. Did you hear that? Right. I'm just going to land this quickly. Luke 12 verse 15. And he said to them, take care, this is Jesus speaking, and be on your guard against all covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions. So clearly that's not what he meant by abundantly. Jeremiah 9, verse 23-24. Thus says the Lord, let not the wise man boast in his wisdom, let not the mighty man boast in his might, let not the rich man boast in his riches, but let him who boasts boast in this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord who practices steadfast love, justice, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, declares the Lord. That's Jeremiah 9, verse 23-24. And then one of my favorites, John 17, verse 3, in the high priestly prayer, where Jesus says, and this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you have sent. We find this abundant life here. The rest of John is talking about eternal life often. Do you think maybe we should not be splitting them? You know, Jesus came to give us eternal life, which is to know God now. You see, if we have a different, I must exercise restraint. If we have a different view of this, then the book Philemon makes no sense. Because in Philemon, Paul sends a slave back to his master. Is the slave having abundant life? Well, he's not having abundant possessions, I think. But he's having abundant life because he knows God the Father already. So his status as a slave is irrelevant. Is the book Philemon in your Bible? It's very short. You go check. Go home and check. Okay? Moving on. I've exercised restraint. And this is, here is the focus of John 10. John 10, verse 11 to 15. In the context of what is going through the mind of these Jews during Hanukkah, Ezekiel 34, being fresh in their minds, these things bouncing around, them thinking about the shepherds, themselves as the sheep. You'll see the sheep also get a little bit of a, in Ezekiel 34, go read it. They get a little bit of a motivator. So we don't give hidings anymore, we give motivators. Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he's a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. He says it twice, I am the good shepherd. He wants to make the point. He's contrasting himself to the leaders of the day. We should be doing the same exercise. We should be looking at our leaders, whether they're shepherds, whatever title we've given to them. We should be looking at what's going on. Because there's only one good shepherd who laid down his life for the sheep. And how did that happen? You can read in Isaiah 53. I want to read here, how does Jesus get to be claiming to be the good shepherd? Because he becomes the lamb in our place. In Isaiah 53, we read from verse 3, he was despised and rejected by men. Sounds lonely. A man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and as one of from whom men hide their faces, he was despised and we esteemed him not. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions, he was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace, and with his wounds we are healed. Does this echo what these sheep were going through in Ezekiel 34? Do you hear it? All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed, and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. Like a lamb that is led to the slaughter, and like a sheep that before its shearer is silent, so he opened not his mouth. By oppression and judgment he was taken away, and as for this his generation, who considered that he was cut off out of the land of the living, stricken for the transgression of my people? You see, When Jesus says, I am the good shepherd, he knows it's because he has been the sheep in our place. He comes and he lives a life in our place where it culminates in his isolation on a cross that's not his, a cross that's ours. It culminates where he is betrayed. You say, we go astray. Jesus went through everything that the sheep go through, but he did not open his mouth. And so at John 10, he can say, I am the good shepherd because I lay down my life for the sheep. My sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me. I give them eternal life and they will never perish. And no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. I and the Father are one. The Jews here are in turmoil. They want their freedom back. They're looking for the Messiah. Jesus says, I am the door and I am the shepherd. I lay down my life and your security eternally, not now, not in the kingdom of this world, your security eternally is in me. That's the message of John 10. You see that? No, Craig. John 10 is about abundant possessions. I want to go back to Ezekiel 34 because when we understand who our shepherd is, what he has come to do, we understand that in him, in his life that he lived, in our stead, that we receive that acceptance. We are as blessed as Jesus is in him because he did no wrong. That is your condition immediately when you become born again. A Mercedes does not change that. Right? The moment you are born again, you have come to know the Father who knows you. You have what Jeremiah says, the knowledge of him. You have abundant life. Because in him, you are as accepted as Jesus Christ. Regardless of where you have strayed, you are as accepted in him. It's crazy. That's why it's called good news. I think it's fantastic. So in response to that, we are going into a holiday season. We, you, me, are shepherds. Because in Christ, the good shepherd, if you follow him and follow his teachings, you should start to look a bit like the good shepherd. Right? So you're a shepherd. I'm a shepherd. You're a shepherd. Because in him, that's what he does. So let's look again at Ezekiel 34. In the holiday, we're going to have family coming. We're going to have visitors coming. We're going to have people coming. You say to me, Craig, how do I respond? Well, let's just look at the things that God looked at. Ezekiel 34. I'm going to end with this. I want us to just read Ezekiel 34, verse 4. Remember, this was the charge against shepherds. And we can take this and flip it over and say, okay, this is what the shepherd in me wants to pursue. With the people I encounter, the family, the friends, the visitors in this season. The weak, you have not strengthened. That was the charge. The sick, you have not healed. The injured, you have not bound up. The strayed, you have not brought back. The lost you have not sought, and with force and harshness you have ruled them. So let's turn that over. What should we be doing? Those who are weak in the faith. Those who are weak in the faith. How do we strengthen them? Well, we welcome them. Not to debates about the meaning of words and the pronunciation of Hanukkah. You see, next week you're going to probably forget a lot about what I preached. But you're going to remember the encounter you had with God here. Maybe someone welcomed you. You see, when people are weak in the faith, what we should be doing is welcoming them. That's the first thing, as a shepherd, right? Don't debate with them about the meaning of whatever word. It's Romans 14, by the way. For those who are sick, we pray for one another. You see, we're going to come across people who've had a year that has made them sick. Not physically sick. We should be praying for the physically sick as well. It's a command, right? It's that simple. But there are going to be people visiting you that are spiritually sick. We need to be praying for them. Laying hand, that's the work of the shepherds, is to pray for the sick. Those who are injured. You see, when you do activities and you have something that is off center, and you continue with that activity, eventually it causes an injury. Right? So with running, when you have something wrong with your hamstring, but you keep running, eventually it's going to cause a tear. Now you've got an injury. In Hebrews we read, strengthen the hands that remain. Right? In Hebrews 12. Strengthen the weak knees and make straight paths for your feet. As shepherds, what does that talk about? Hebrews 12, you can go look it up. When somebody comes and they've been injured in this year by life, that thing that kept repeating, they had a shortened hamstring and they kept being on this treadmill, and then eventually it snapped. Bah! What we are called as shepherds to do is to praise and worship with them. That's the hands that get lifted up in Hebrews 12. It's worship with them, enter into God's presence. Pray with them, strengthen the knees. What are your knees for? To kneel. We pray together. Make straight paths. Take things out of their way. Make it a straight way for them. If they keep being tripped up by something, take it out of the way for them. That's what a shepherd is supposed to do. That sheep that's got an injury, well, you know what? When we're going to go over there, I'm going to pick you up and take you over the river. This is the season we're in now. Those who have strayed. Those who have strayed are those who have followed the other voices, who have followed the teachings that do not accord with the teachings of Jesus and godliness. That's our responsibility. That's our response in this season. People are going to come with their weird revelation of the year. I'm not saying you must debate with them. Let's just take it back. You know, an exercise I love doing, and maybe... Heck, lots of people have opinions, debates about words. I like sitting and reading the Gospels, just the red letters sometimes. Okay? Because that just gives me a straight shot, like, of just Jesus' words. We need to help people. When they come with these ideas, no, but this is okay now. We can marry this now. You can now identify as a cat. Okay, no. Does not accord with godliness, because you are made in the image of God. Let's take it back there. And most of all in this season, see that the charge is twice in Ezekiel. In the start, it says you fed yourselves, and he extends on that and says you lorded it over one another. What we are called to do is to serve one another. Now, none of these things I've mentioned you can do in your own strength. But if you abide in Christ, He is the good shepherd. It is in His nature. As we abide in Him, in His teachings, in His word, we become transformed as we behold Him into His image. And this kind of shepherding is what He's calling us to do, especially in this season. Let's stop there. If you'll stand with me. just want to say one last thing. I'm not going to say that. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you that we have the privilege of hearing your word, seeing your word, seeing who you are, Lord Jesus, understanding what you came to do and the message you proclaimed, and it is still true today. You are still the good shepherd. And Father, here tonight, we are sheep that have gone lost in areas of our lives. We are sheep that have strayed in areas of our lives. We are sheep that are sick in areas of our lives, Lord Jesus. We are sheep that are injured in areas of our lives. We need you, Good Shepherd, to come and do what only you can do. I want there where you are, I want you to just take that injury, that sickness, that isolation of being lost. That wandering, that straying. All of it that you think disqualifies you right now. Maybe it was even just today, the heat was too much. Just bring that to the Good Shepherd, because he paid with his life to take it away from you. So Lord Jesus, as we come to the only door, the only shepherd who laid down his life so that we can enter into that sheepfold, will you come and take these injuries, these sicknesses, this lostness, this straying, will you come and take it? And will you come and lead us as we follow you, as we follow your word? Will you come and take us and make us shepherds like you for those around us? I feel like it's just some of us, we just need to take a moment and just bring that, just put it in your hand and just give it to the shepherd. Just take the action. All the eyes are closed. Please, just put in your hand symbolically that if it's all four of these things, that's fine. It can be two times all four of these things. Just put it in your hand, give it to the Good Shepherd. Just take that action, just extend your hand forward. Say, Lord Jesus, I experience your presence here and I'm just giving this to you. And I want to follow you. I want to follow your voice. And as I follow you, I know you will use me to lead others to follow you. Thank you. Can we sing that song again? Let's just close with this song. to dismiss the service. If you want to pray with anyone, you're welcome to come to the front afterwards, or just grab someone that you know. Maybe you don't know me. And just pray whatever it is that you want prayer for, whether it's what we touched on tonight or something else. We are here because we are drawn here by God. Do not leave here with a prayer need. So let me dismiss the service. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn His face toward you and give you peace. In Jesus' name. Amen. And the rest, you are welcome to grab coffee on the way out and fellowship. Just not until tomorrow morning.